Greet each of you in the name of our blessed Lord this morning. It's been good to be here. Being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I assume you expect a message related to the Thanksgiving theme. And I really don't have any desire to deliberately disappoint anyone this morning. So I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I realize that Thanksgiving Day, the word Thanksgiving Day is not mentioned in the Bible. However, we do find many scriptures that do encourage us to be a thankful people and give expressions to those feelings. Now, Lamar shared a number of them this morning, and I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to look at some of them again. We're going to look at some of those same verses, and that's okay. Our text and our message title are both taken from verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So our message title is, In Everything Give Thanks. There are a number of, I think, some obvious observations we can make from this verse. Notice it says what we're supposed to give. We're supposed to give thanks. Let me emphasize, first of all, the word give. You can have a thankful heart. You can be thankful and yet not express it. Here it says we're supposed to give thanks. Our thanks needs to be expressed. And I guess that sounds so elementary, but I believe sometimes we need to be reminded of that. It's good for us to think about that. Don't just think it, say it. Might be to our family members, husband, wife, or children. I don't know why it is, but isn't it true that we tend to take for granted and maybe even sometimes fail to express appreciation to those that are closest to us? I don't know why that is, but it seems like that is, you know, if somebody does something for you that you haven't seen them for a long time or whatever, they do something and, oh, you've expressed thanks to them for what they did. But what about the many things that our family members do for us? Or you could even branch it out and think about your coworkers. I'm sure there are certain qualities that you really appreciate in them. Have you shared? Have you thanked them for it? Neighbors, especially, I think, nice neighbors. We've always been blessed to have nice neighbors. They changed recently, but again, we have nice neighbors. It's nice to have nice neighbors. I've heard already of some people that experience not so nice neighbors, and it can be a real a challenge to them. So we need to give thanks, give it, express it. Second thing I see here, it says in everything. In everything. Do you think it really means in everything? Everything? You know, we tend to focus on the things. And I have to admit, I know of a lot of things in life that are not desirable. Broken bones and sickness, like we heard of this morning, and even accidents, just there's a number of things that we would not choose. If we had a list of things that we would like to experience, there's a number of things we just wouldn't put on the list. They're not desirable things. Are we supposed to give thanks for those things? I really don't think that's what this verse says. Don't think it does. If our attention is possibly on the things, I think we're actually missing the main point. Rather, I believe we should focus on the word in everything, in every situation, in every circumstance, in every happening, in every occasion, in every occurrence. There is always something we can focus on in that situation that we can still be thankful for. If nothing less, thank the Lord it isn't worse. Thank the Lord it just wrinkled the car, the van. At least we weren't hurt, or at least we weren't killed. Or, you know, you can keep going. There's usually things, I shouldn't say usually, there's always things, I believe, generally that we can look at and say, you know what, it could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse. There's always something, I say, we can focus on in that situation to be thankful for. And I believe that if we are in God's will, there is always good that can come from it, because he wouldn't have experienced those happenings if it wasn't for the fact that he believes it was good for us. He screens, I believe he does. He filters every, not only the temptations, but I believe also the incidences, the happenings, the sickness, whatever it is, he screens it. You might say, well, wow, he's like giving me a pretty heavy dose. Well, maybe he just knows you're one that you can handle it. By prayer, you know, through the aid of the Spirit, you can handle that. So I say there's always good that can come from the most undesirable event. Certainly a Christian response can be experienced, expressed, and I believe your Christian testimony can be on display, perhaps like in no other way. There's some things that will not touch people's hearts unless they see the travail or what maybe you're going through. I believe this verse does not suggest that when we stub our toe, we say, thank you, Lord, for that pain. You know, really glad you gave that to me. I mean, that's just unrealistic, and I don't think it's what we should be doing. We don't desire to experience pain, but when we do, what is our response? And I believe that if we respond in a Christ-like way, then we can thank God for that, you know, Christ-like response, if for no other reason. Makes my mind go back to a story. I know I've told this before. I've told it more than one time to people. But you may not have all heard it. So I'm going to say it again. I'm going to share it again. If for nothing else, then maybe a refresher if you remember this. This story, this happened back, it's over 50 years ago. And you see, when Carl Martin built our house, we trying to save money every place we could. And so we did not concrete the basement. We just put stones in it and left that go. We figured we'll do that later. And then, sure enough, a number of years later, we decided it's time to get rid of that moist basement and let's put concrete in. And so we had the concrete truck come, and he backed up to the, of course, the house was there. So how do you get concrete in a basement? Well, there was a window well there. And so they opened the well and put his chute down from the concrete mixer and left the concrete go down and into a wheelbarrow. And then the man, worker at the bottom, after the wheelbarrow was full, he would roll the wheelbarrow over to a spot and dump it and come back for another load. Well, part of the problem was it was the stair steps coming down from upstairs. How do you get concrete under the stair steps? You can't get the wheelbarrow there. So what he did is he got over took a run for it, got close to the steps, and just threw it up like this. And, you know, let the concrete shoot out underneath to the steps. The only problem is he got his finger caught on the wheelbarrow handle. He got his finger caught between the wheelbarrow handle and the steps. I mean, he crunched it, but good. Maybe Carl remembers it. I'm not sure. That was later, after the house was built. That's right. I could give his name, but I won't. Some of you might know him. Anyway, the moment that happened, he started, I mean, he grabbed his finger there and he held it. He was dancing around in the basement there. He didn't say a thing. He was just, and after a bit, he just threw his hand and said, well, thank the Lord for victory. Now, you have to know this man to know why he would say that. Because you see, in his past, he was a sinner, saved by grace, a Christian now. But the problem was, in his past, it would take a lot less than a pinching of the finger to have some extremely vulgar swearing come from his lips. That would have been the natural response. But you know, here he was, saved by grace. And that moment when what would have naturally come from within his being, he suppressed it. Yes, it was painful, but he suppressed it. And then finally just, you know, left out those words. He was just thanking the Lord for the victory that he had in not saying what otherwise he maybe would have said. In everything, give thanks. I believe we need to demonstrate a Christ-like spirit in spite of the pain. And I believe that's true, whether it's physical. You can have physical pain, you can have emotional pain, you can have mental pain. In everything, give thanks. And I don't believe there's any situation that verse really, that you can't apply it to. Think it through. I think it can. Why should we give thanks in everything? Well, the latter part of the verse, you notice there, it says that it's the will of God. And I think that, in a sense, adds importance to what we're supposed to do. It's actually a command. It's the will of God. And I believe, certainly as Christians, we desire to live in the will of God. In fact, I don't think it's wrong to say it's contrary to the will of God to not give thanks. Now, I'd like for you to notice also in this verse, the last two words. It says that we're supposed to give thanks in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning you. He doesn't say, give thanks to God, because he likes to hear that. He's waiting for you to say it, hear it. And I possibly is. But rather, you notice his emphasis is, it is concerning you. It is for your good to give thanks. Now, I know that generally we think of, you know, we think that the benefit of giving thanks is to the person that receives it. It makes them feel good. You thank them, makes them feel good. Mothers appreciate words of appreciation for the hard work, you know, the clean clothes, the good cooked meals, and a tidy house. You can go on and on. Words of appreciation? Okay, yes, she does appreciate that. However, I believe here the blessing is for our good. The emphasis here is on, it's for our good to give thanks. And I must admit, that's probably a little different concept than what I've ever had. I usually think of, when you give thanks, it's for the person you're doing it to. It's for their good. Here it says it's for our good. It's concerning you. Like I said, I think I saw it previously as something that God would miss if I didn't thank him. But now I see it as something that I should miss, or I will miss. I'll be the loser if I don't thank him. I end up losing the blessing. I end up being cheated, not God. Well, maybe that isn't quite true. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. I probably don't want to go as far as to say that, you know, that I'm going to offend him, you know, if I fail to give thanks. There's a sense in which he can afford it. I don't like that. That don't sound good either. But I can't afford it. That's for sure. I cannot. I mean, he might be disappointed in me, but God is still going to be God. God is still going to be sovereign. But what about me? Our response, I believe, will do something, say something, and do something for us. So let's remember that giving thanks is concerning you. In every situation, we need to give thanks. Now, the remainder of this message, I'd like to consider some areas and reasons why we should give expressions of thanks to God. I mean, the Bible is just full of various calls to people to give expressions of thanks to God. I think there's at least 130 of them, I can tell you that I know. In fact, in the Old Testament, God, did you know that God designated special offerings of thanksgiving? That's how important it was. It was important, and he had special offerings of thanksgiving. And I actually considered branching out and focusing on the various people and, you know, who should receive our thanks. You know, like I mentioned, already mentioned some of them, our family, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, and that type of thing, salespeople, whatever, relatives, on and on. But I've rather chosen to focus on various areas or times when we should express our thanks to God. And I believe if we have a right attitude toward being thankful to God for what he's done, it's going to spill over. It's going to trickle down. I guess that's the word they use today. It's going to have a trickle-down effect, and it's going to help us as we relate to others as well. 11, I like to give 11 areas, just quickly, of expressions of thanks and maybe some reasons for it. Number one, if you're taking notes, the first area of that we should give expression of thanks. The first one that I have marked down here is at mealtime. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. There is a number of verses we can look at. Some of these I'm going to have you turn to. Some I'm just going to mention for the sake of time. Deuteronomy 8. I'd like to look at verse 10. He says here, when thou hast eaten and art full, then, at that time, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now, I know that our custom is to pray. When do we pray? We pray before we eat, right? Yes, we do. Our heads and we pray before we eat. And, of course, I want to encourage us. I think that practice is good. I think we ought to always do it. We should, even if you're by yourself, and you've got your lunch bucket there, don't just open it up and start eating like a pig does without giving thanks to God. You know, give thanks. Give thanks for the fact that you have that your food there. Anyway, and I'd say this, don't be ashamed to do it in a restaurant either. In fact, I was actually surprised the other day. We were at Dutch Way. We were in the restaurant. And just a couple tables away from us was an elderly couple. They weren't Mennonites. I know they weren't. I could tell that just by the way they were dressed. They were, and I just happened to look up, and the waitress brought their food, and I just looked, and just like that, there's three of them. They bowed their heads, and I think I couldn't hear it, but it looked like the man had an audible prayer with them, and as soon as he was done, their eyes were open, heads went up. And I thought, now that is something you don't see very often. You don't, at least outside of our circles, you just don't see it. But it's still a good practice. In fact, I remember, and I'm going back 30-some years ago, being in some of our relatives' houses for a meal, like a noon meal, Sunday meal. I remember them having a prayer before the meal and also after the meal. After the meal was all done, I forget the word, they always had somewhat the same wording as they would use, say something, somebody probably could say, but it doesn't matter, that a certain thing, something like that, now that we're eating or something, I don't know, we've had sufficient, let's thank the Lord or something, I forget what it was. How many remember that practice? What was that again?
To return thanks.
All right, I noticed most of the hands are up front here. Maybe that says something. Maybe it's a practice that's being lost somewhat. I'm not critical of that. I think it's okay. In fact, I think verse 10 here actually suggests that it's okay. It's okay to pray a prayer of thanks after the meal as well. There's two reasons given here why we should pray when we eat, before we eat. Well, let's go to verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. One of the things he mentions here is lest your heart be lifted up. The problem is that we have the natural tendency to attribute our increases, you know, our wealth, our ability to earn money, our businesses in that, we have the natural tendency to attribute that to our aggressiveness or maybe careful planning or, you know, the talents that we have. Oh my, you could go on and think of all kind of ways you could kind of pat yourself on the back for why things went as good as it did. I say God should get the praise, not us. God should get the praise, not us. Praying to God, like it says here, should help put us in a frame of mind to remind us that, you know what, it's not me, it was him. Why should we pray? Here, the answer, it says, lest thou forget the Lord thy God. And he calls on us here to bless the Lord when we prosper and think back on the past. We will tend to forget the Lord when we praise ourselves. The latter part of verse 14 and down through 16 also reminds them to remember what they've been spared from. Let's just pick up reading there. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not. And you could keep on going. It's, you know what? The more our mind, I believe, remembers the past and recalls God's blessings and how he spared us from so many things, I believe by remembering the past, it'll help us to less not forget him as much today. Not forget us him as much today, presently. All right, let's move on to the second area. I can't spend that much time on every one of these. In the second area, it suggests that we should also worship him, praise him, at worship services. Turn to this one too. That's Psalms 100. Psalm 100, I want to look at verse 4. He says here, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I believe that this morning, singing thanksgiving songs, songs of thanks to God, I believe praises his name. He says, enter into his gates. What's he mean by that? I think it's talking about probably the house of God, whether it be temple, the temple or whatever. Enter his gates, the sanctuary. Now, why bless his name? Reason number one, it says, well, he made us. Know ye, verse 3, and know ye that the Lord, he is God. He is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He made us. So we are his actually by creation. He made us for a purpose. Why bless his name? Another reason I think it's here is in verse 5. It says, the Lord is good. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The Lord is good. Takes my mind back to Genesis, doesn't it? Where it says, every day, the things that he made. And what did he say at the end of each day? It was good, or it was very good. It was good, because God is good. You know, the craftsmanship tells you something about the craftsman, isn't it? You see a piece of furniture that is just beautifully made. I mean, it's just really nice. Tells you something about the maker. Tells you something about the maker. And certainly, God is the master craftsman. Well, why bless his name? Verse 5, his words are true. His truth endureth to all generations. His truth endureth to all generations. You know, when we repeat a story that we heard, we hope that it's true. We didn't see it ourselves. Someone told us. We just hope it's true. But you know, there is no such uncertainty with God's words. They are all true. God's word is always true. It says, endureth. His truth endureth to all generations. In other words, it's relevant for all generations. I know things change. The world changes. People's views change. But guess what? God's word is always up to date. Always up to date. It never gets outdated. All right, the third area that I believe that we can thank the Lord for, and that is Christian friends. I think of the Apostle Paul as he thank God for his friends. You don't have to turn to it, but back in Acts 28, he was en route to Rome, and at one of his stops, some of his brethren sought him out, knew he was coming, I guess, somehow word got to them, when he met the brethren, what did he do? He didn't say, thank you for coming. Maybe he did, but it's not recorded. It rather says he thanked God and took courage. When he met the brethren, he thanked God and took courage. So I think it's all right to thank people for, you know, if they come and visit you, but it's even better if we also thank God as we are encouraged by their words. Paul's courage was strengthened when he met the brethren, and as a result, he thanked God. Well, we could branch out into other areas and reasons to give expressions to our thanks to God, and also expressions to our friends for their friendship, and I think that obviously would be a message on its own. Actually, you know, friendships are revealed in many ways and at various times. Sometimes we expect it, sometimes we don't. We're probably not surprised to receive a birthday card around a certain time of the year or an anniversary card. It won't take us by surprise. Other times we're surprised. Like Don mentioned, we were surprised also when we got some visitors. We were just ready to leave, bring the bulletins into the church last evening, and just like that, the doorbell rang. We weren't expecting any company that we knew of, and no salesman that we knew of. Instead, there we had four young people from Elm Street were at the door, and as he handed us the vegetable pizza and the plate of fresh fruit and a bouquet of flowers, they said, I was like, what's this for? And they said, it's random acts of kindness. It was random acts of kindness. I'm really curious. How many other people this last week were recipients of random acts of kindness? Raise your hand. Okay, a number of them. I see most of them again toward the front here. That's all right. I'm going to ask another question. How many people were involved in giving random acts of kindness? Stand up. I want to see you stand up. All those that were involved in giving random acts of kindness this past week. It didn't have to be last evening. All right. Thank you. You can sit down. I just want to give recognition to you. I mean, to me, it was quite a surprise. And I say thank you. God bless you for your acts of kindness. I hope that you were as blessed in giving as what we were blessed in receiving. In fact, I got to tell you, you have the edge over us. Scripturally, you do. What's the scripture say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. So I guess we just didn't quite get the blessing you did. But that's all right. I think we all were blessed. All right. So we are blessed to have Christian friends. But you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in this world that don't feel that blessing. They feel all alone. If you want an eye-opener, just walk into an orphanage, or even just walk the halls of an old people's home, and you will find a lot of people that truly seem alone, seem as though they don't have friends, or at least friends that visit with the men very often. We got to go on, keep moving. Number four, that is, we could be thankful. Thanks for healing. Thanks for healing. In Luke 17, we have the story of the 10 lepers that were healed. You don't have to turn to it because you probably have it memorized if you don't want to. Luke 17, verse 12, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. They stood afar off, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The people that were kind of despised, that was the one that turned back and glorified God. I don't know if the ratio would be any different today, if it would happen in our culture, in our setting. 1 out of 10, I don't know. It's easy to sense our need for healing when we're sick. But do we sense our need to give thanks for healing and for the health that we do have. That's another thing. Number five, area number five, and that is knowledge and wisdom. We need to thank God for our knowledge and wisdom. Yeah, I'm going to have you turn to this. Luke, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2. In Daniel 2, we have the setting of Daniel and his three friends. And you know, remember how they were about to be slain along with the other wise men because they couldn't tell the king what his dream was or the interpretation of the dream. Verse 19 says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the Lord, the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He," notice this, "he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." The key thoughts I see here in verse 21 are that he giveth wisdom. He gives wisdom to those who exercise the wisdom that he gave earlier. If you want to have wisdom, use what he's given you, and I believe it'll increase. He giveth knowledge. He adds to knowledge, just like children. You know how it is. You teach them the numbers, and then after a bit, they can do adding, they can do subtracting, dividing. They, from the knowledge they learn as they get older, they keep using that knowledge to learn more. And I believe that's what God does for us as well. He giveth knowledge. He adds to our knowledge. So what am I saying? We need to remember to credit God for the knowledge and the wisdom that we have. When you make a mistake, say, "That wasn't wise. That wasn't a good choice at all." When you do that, thank God for the ability to learn from your mistakes. See? In everything, give thanks. So when you make a mistake, you can still thank God that, you know what? I can learn from that. I can do better next time. That's wisdom. You know what's not wisdom? So when you make a mistake, you think about who you can blame. You blame somebody else. You know, you try to deflect or whatever that criticism that would come toward you. You don't learn from that at all. Let's learn. Let's be wise and learn from our own mistakes. Number six, area number six, thank God for salvation and other similar benefits. Psalm 68:19, you don't have to turn to it. "Blessed be the God which loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," Selah. Maybe I should have had this one first. I'm not sure. "Blessed be the God who daily loadeth us with benefits." You know, today people are sentenced to jail. When they're sentenced, some people are actually released from jail on bail. Or perhaps maybe someone bribed their way out. That happens sometimes. But you know, there's no bribery. There's no ransom that is big enough to provide deliverance from the prison of sin. We all had a life sentence. That's what it was. It's a life sentence. And yet God gave his only begotten Son so that we can be freed. That is salvation. That's salvation. And not only saved, but this verse says he loadeth us daily with benefits. He piles the benefits on us. And if he loads us with benefits, I believe we should load him with thanks. Number seven, area number seven, and that is to be thankful to God for peace. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Let peace rule in your hearts. It's possible for some other traits to rule in our hearts other than peace. You know, we can allow ourselves to get all worked up over sometimes almost nothing. And I believe the devil would desire, therefore, to destroy our peace. If our inner peace is destroyed, our outer peace is going to evaporate, and we'll tend to lose our cool. That's what people say. And when we lose our cool, we often lose our good judgment. So let's try to stay calm and collected, even when under pressure. After you let the peace of God rule in your hearts, then be thankful for it and express your thankfulness to God. Number eight, Give thanks for victory over sin, death, and the grave. You can turn to this one. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I can't express it better than what the Apostle Paul did here. Verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 56 here reminds us that sin is the cause for the sting of death. Sin makes death a dreadful thing, a dreaded thing, because it seals the destiny of the soul. You know, it's sin and death that gives a person a one-way ticket to hell. It's true. It's true. But praise God, death, the sting, is lost because of his work, through the work of Jesus on the cross and his subsequent resurrection. Well, thanks be to God, we can have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Area number 9, and that is we can be thankful to God for righteous judgment. Psalm 119:62 says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. I cannot explain to you why it's at midnight. Maybe he got up, he couldn't, I don't know. But it's what he says. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. We live in a world, you hear about it sometimes, where there is perverted judgments. You don't have to think back very far. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to name him. But you know there's people that have been convicted of judgments, and I don't believe they were righteous. It's my opinion. Well, in the world of perverted judgments, righteous judgments stand out in contrast to that. I have difficulty understanding pure, righteous judgment. When I make a judgment, we make a judgment call on something, all right? Later on, something happens. Circumstances change. We get more information. We get enlightened a little more. Oh, now our mind changes. Oh, now we change our mind. Now our judgment's going to be here. Later on, you hear now you heard the other side of the story. Oh, now, follow where I'm at? Our judgments change. That's what happens with mankind. But what about with God? Thank God his judgments don't change. He knows what's right. He doesn't have to change his mind at all. He doesn't receive additional knowledge. He doesn't acquire more maturity, more time, or whatever to conclude differently. God doesn't need additional information or time to give righteous judgment. It's just natural for God. Every time, all the time. Thank God for that. Area number 10, and that is that we can be partakers of an inheritance. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He says, he hath made us. We're not self-made. I mentioned that before. It's not our own works, lest we should boast. But God rather has enabled us. We're partakers. Therefore, we're eligible to enjoy the benefits. And he talks about here in the light. We're not living in darkness. We're in the light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a blessing to be delivered from the power of darkness. We can walk in the light. You know, we don't have a blind hope. We're not walking through a dark tunnel and hope to get light at the end. We rather have light even today. The glorious gospel shines in our hearts, and we're partakers now and will be also in the future. Finally, number 11, and that is we give thanks to God for all things. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for all things. This is my last point. But you know what? It's all-encompassing. It includes everything. Everything I didn't say, the things that you thought of that I missed, they're included in this one. They're covered with this one. Every treasure that you value, give thanks to God for it. All that we have or hope to be, give thanks to God for it. This verse is a catch-all. I hope the Spirit of God can remind you of areas you should be thankful for today, and then help you to give expression for it to Him. Well, we've been looking at areas that we should be thankful to God for. But as I mentioned earlier, our thanks is not limited to God. It should extend out to others as well. Just a thought I'd like to just share yet before I close. You know, many times we think of, or maybe I should say it this way. Many times we express thanks when we aren't able to reimburse the giver, either because of our inability or because no gift would suffice. Other things we pay for. If I go through the grocery store, I go through the line, you know, I give the money, we buy the products, we give the check or whatever, credit card and cash, and it's all right to say thanks, but I mean, I paid for it, okay? But you don't take those same items through the thing and look at the clerk and say thanks and then walk out. I mean, there's things that you can pay for. There's other things that we can't. And you know what? It's really those things many times that we simply have to say thank you. There's some things that money will never buy. Tell me, what's the value of a virtuous wife or a virtuous husband? What is the value of marital fidelity? What price can buy it? I'll tell you what, no price can buy it. In fact, the millionaires and the Hollywood stars have proven that money is not the answer. They can't buy it. Let's also remember that thanksgiving must be more than a formal, polite thank you. Saying it really isn't enough. In fact, saying it and not really, you know, you're doing it out of because it's a polite thing to do, is really hypocrisy, if you think about it. It's an expression of hypocrisy. Well, as I said, thanksgiving is often a recognition of our dependence. We're in debt to our friends for all the helps and the influence that they've been to us. In fact, as we get older, we're discovering that we find ourselves dependent on each other, maybe more and more. We depend on each other for so much. However, we are dependent on God for so much more. Well, may our lives and expressions from our hearts give a constant, consistent reaffirmation of these truths. I didn't cover everything. There's so much more that could be said, but I hope it was enough. Plant some seeds. Let's be a thankful people, not just this week, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but all year. Let's kneel for prayer.